We're glad you're in our class this morning and this afternoon now, I guess. Hope you had enough to eat for the lunch. We're going to talk about building your Sunday school, seeing it grow. I've traveled around a little bit. Some of you know I've started a new ministry that I'm transitioning into and trying to go into churches and help them and review everything, their whole ministry, sort of a fresh set of eyes and make suggestions and ideas. So I don't know everything, but I know a lot more than a lot of people know after 50 years. So I'll try and share the things that I do know. But the Sunday school is my observation. The Sunday schools are suffering. Yeah. I mean serious suffering. There are a lot of reasons for it. In its heyday, churches had a larger Sunday school attendance than they had a church attendance. Now, some of you young men may not realize that, but that's true. People might run 100 in Sunday school and 80 in the church service. People come just to Sunday school. Of course, it's not that way now. But in its heyday, people really believed in the Sunday school and its importance. It was not hard to get people to come. They all felt like everybody ought to go to Sunday school, learn the Bible. There were a church, I grew up in Indiana, in a very rural area, and there was a town north of us, Brazil, Indiana, right off Highway 40, and the town had 5,000 people. There was a Methodist church in that town that every Sunday had 5,000 in Sunday school. Just a country town. Now, that was very successful ministry, but it was not unusual but we live in a day where no one's interested in Sunday school. And we're in the Northeast where it was never known for Sunday school. So even when I started, people just didn't think about Sunday school, or they thought, well, that's something separate for children. Or it's something, we'll take the children out of the service and teach them while the service goes on for the adults. So there had to be a whole new mindset for people to even understand. And you're having people teach Sunday school probably, then never attended. They'd never been to a Sunday school, didn't grow up in Sunday school. So we are living in more challenging times. But even now in the South, in the Midwest and other places, the Sunday school does not have the same draw that it once had. And so there are ministries and churches that have three or four children in their whole Sunday school, that have five or six. Even a large church in the South where I was at, they had one child in the nursery during Sunday school. This is a big church, and they had 12 teenagers in the teen Sunday school class. And of all the children, elementary, they had something like 20. And it's a big church. So we have to understand something. We are fighting a battle. We're swimming upstream. It's not something people say, what kind of Sunday school do you have? That they're not thinking that way. And then that leads us to another question. Is it worth the battle? Is it worth the fight? Is it worth the emphasis? Is it worth the effort for our Sunday school? Should we abandon it? Should we try something else? Is there something to replace it? And again, my observations, I'm an expert at my opinion, so this is my opinion. Nothing has replaced it. And nothing works any better than what the Sunday school does. And for me, it is absolutely worth the effort. And one of the issues, and this is why I want to do this class, is we have to realize it must be emphasized. We have to put effort into it. It will not happen by some natural force. It's going to happen by our interest, enthusiasm, effort. We have to make it happen. And even with all of our effort, it may not be what it was 50 years ago or 100 years ago, but it can be successful. And again, my opinion, it is needed. Where else are our children going to learn the foundations of the Bible? It's hard for them to sit in a church service and get all the things they need, even if they're in a church service. And now it's a tendency for some more contemporary or even liberal churches, if they have Sunday school, they're showing videos. They're just watching a video. There's no teacher, just a supervisor. In some cases, they're just playing games. They're not even Bible games. They're just entertaining children. They give them candy. So that's where it's headed if you don't emphasize it and do it right. We believe it's important, but it's important to do it right if you do it. You want to get them the Bible, get the Word of God in their lives, give them a foundation. So how do we do that? That's the question. How do we emphasize the Sunday school? Now, it is important to recognize if you have a bus ministry, you're more likely to get children. And that's a good thing. However, it's not a sustainable thing for your church. It is an outreach of your church. And some cases you have to separate some of the children you might pick up. If you go to a project and bring them in, families that have small children might say, I don't want my children to be in there. So I'm mainly, the bus ministry is another topic, and we have bus ministry, we believe in it, but this session we're talking about families and drive-in crowd that have children and building those classes. So that's what our goal is to have people that are bringing their children, they're faithful in church, they're rearing their children, and how do you make it interesting, and how do you get people to come? So the number one thing is you must emphasize it. It ought to be talked about from the pulpit. If you don't give it attention, it's going to decrease, it's not going to increase. And there has to be a plan. So give it attention, figure out a plan. Make a big deal about it. Get your teachers together, maybe even some of your staff or deacons or leaders, and talk about it. What can we do? And it gets them thinking about it and to see the importance of it. There are exciting things that can be done that it's going to create new energy in your Sunday school. I remember hearing a preacher many years ago make this statement. I've never forgotten it. Don't bore people with the truth. Why would you bore people with the greatest news in all the world? And to have a class where all you do is lecture and read a text or read a quarterly, everybody's falling asleep. That's not going to be exciting. It's not being creative. And you can do things in your Sunday school you can't do in the morning service. So that's where you want to be creative and add some things to the Sunday school. All right, number two, conduct a spring and fall campaign. So in the spring and the fall, make a special effort to have an emphasis. That spring and fall campaign could be 4 weeks, it could be 12 weeks, but somewhere between 4 weeks and 12 weeks. If it's new, you haven't done it, maybe you do 4 weeks or 6 weeks. If you've done it for a while and you want to have a big emphasis, maybe you do it for 12 weeks. And you can create a theme. There are many themes that could go along with some campaign titles, like the Ten Commandments, the 12 Apostles, March to Sunday School in March, if you did 4 weeks. I love Sunday School. I love my Bible, or read your Bible, grow in grace. We're marching to Zion. Fantastic days, friends, relatives, associates, neighbors, where it encourages people to bring them in to Sunday school. You could have a theme that has a banner in the front of the church somewhere, or as they enter church or in a hallway, you put up a banner. So you're, in a cumulative way, you're adding more and more things so that people see it, they think about it, you talk about it, you put up banners, you prepare your teachers, you have a theme for the spring and the fall, you have a campaign. It could be a more secular campaign. We had a Going West campaign. We sort of had a competition, and we had a big board, and see the covered wagon would make its way as, you know, people kept coming to Sunday school and reach our attendance goals. And But again, it was something that was visible, and a visual thing helps people when, you know, they, instead of just, well, come to Sunday school next week. You know, it's like, yeah, we probably should go, but we're not going. So there are different things that you can do in a spring and fall campaign. You announce it at least a month before it starts. Talk about it in the church services. You promote it. So you have this campaign, and during the campaign, you could have a meeting year round, but at least during the campaign, meet with your Sunday school teachers every week. It could be before church, could be after church, on Sunday night when they're done. But in that meeting, you can talk about the campaign, talk about next week, see if they have any problems, questions, suggestions. You can also give them more information. So you're teaching them some practical things, or you might have a different teacher share something that they're doing that others might copy and use that same idea. So have a teacher's meeting every week, at least during that campaign. Number three, provide training for your teachers. I remember there was a pastor, this has to go back 70 years ago, I think it was Oliver B. Green, but he said there's a tremendous tragedy that our church workers are not being trained. Now that was 70 years ago. It's not improved, I can say that. That so many workers have not received training. Now if someone gets saved, they're in the church, and you need a Sunday school teacher, we could say, hey, you know, would you be wanting to teach Sunday school? I've never done it. I don't know what I'm doing, but yeah, I'll be happy to. And you stick them in a room, they have no clue what they're doing. I mean, think about that for a second. There ought to be training for them. That's why coming to a conference like this is a help. Another thing, as you know, we're doing, we're videotaping all these Sunday school sessions, archiving them, and we'll accumulate them because we'll do more next year of other topics. So people could use that in their own church without even coming to this meeting. You could do a Saturday and show select ones that you want for enhanced teacher training. And there ought to be a list, there ought to be a guideline of job descriptions. Now, in our church, we have a whole book. It's in a blue three-ring binder. And everybody that has any responsibility for anything, they have a job description. They know who they answer to. They know what they're expected to do. They know who they have a problem that they go to. There is a code, a dress code, and a code of conduct. Years ago, when we first started, we had 10 commandments for Sunday school teachers. I have people, you sign your name to that, and then they had some problem. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And so I'd have to talk to them. They'd say, well, I don't remember any paper. Now they know. We have this blue book. It's there all the time. This is the policy of the church. This is the guidelines of the church. So there is some kind of guideline as to what they're supposed to do, what they're responsible for, just like coming to the teacher's meeting. They're responsible to be at that meeting. They're responsible to dress the way, as a church, you expect them to dress while they're teaching that class. There may be something about the curriculum. Obviously, they have to use the King James Version. And I like this one. This is a common one. Someone comes to me and they say, I'm going to be gone next week, so I asked so-and-so if they would teach my class. Is that all right? And I'm thinking, now, what if that's not all right? What if they're a child molester and they're on this list at the police department, and you're telling me I've got to go tell them no, you can't, after you just told them they could? See, the first thing you do is you go to the pastor or Sunday school superintendent or whoever your flowchart says you go to and say, I'm thinking about asking this person, is that okay? But so there's got to be a protocol. You know, that's really, really important. And without mentioning about the classroom, if you have a Christian school, it's more difficult. But if you don't, You need to decorate it where it looks like it's a classroom. You've got biblical things, verses and charts, and it looks like they're going to a classroom. And obviously, keep attendance so you know how many you have, and are we growing or we're losing ground. So you need to provide training for your teacher. Now, this is important when you might not have thought about this. Number four, make the adult class successful. And if you have more than one, make them all successful. Now, the reason I say that, if you're trying to build the drive-in Sunday school, children can't drive. They come with their parents. If their parents are not interested, the children won't be there. So that adult class is important. Now, everybody's not creative. I understand that. But you've got to be to some degree. You've got to think of things that make your class interesting. It can't be the same thing. I remember somebody talking about a teacher they had for Sunday school, and every morning, first thing he'd say, "How many are glad you're not in prison today, but you're here?" He'd said it every week for years and years. He'd say that. That gets a little bit old after a while. You've got to do some things that are creative. Now, I'm going to share with you the best Sunday school series I had was 5 weeks through the Bible in 5 weeks. We covered the whole Bible in 5 weeks. And here's what we did. We had a jar that if you're on time, and we worked on getting people there on time. If you're on time, you put your name in the jar. At the end of the class, we have a prize for you. We'll make a drawing, and we'll put it back in for the final drawing every week. But you got to be on time. And I have this thing about making apple pies. It's like the greatest apple pie in the world. Everybody talks about it. And so you have an apple pie, or it could be a gag prize even. So at the end, they would have a gift card to go out to eat, two people. So that was kind of the promotional thing. So that was one thing we did. The second thing we did is we sponsored every class by someone in the church, a business person. Like we had an attorney. He's sitting in his chair doing spirals. And, it was a funny, funny thing that this class is brought to you by Scott Matney, attorney at law. And then he had all this funny stuff. One family's coming to church, and they're in the van, and it's like, hurry, we got to get there. And, it was crazy stuff. Somebody was selling Michi bags. And, it was really funny. It was just real quick. But it was another thing. By the time that Sunday school class was over, people were like, it's over already? That's it? But whenever somebody comes to your class, they're thinking, how long is this? So you want to create anticipation in that class that they don't know what's coming next. And then it was actually a dispensational study. So, we had Noah and the flood and up to a certain point, but it was busy. It was really, there's no time to waste. We went through one thing and another. And at the end of the class, and we had a newsletter. So every week's a lot of work. We had a crossword puzzle. We had review from last week. We had questions and talked about next week. So to get a paper, a newsletter for our class. So there are just some ideas of things you can do to create some more excitement in your Sunday school, and you promote it. This is the honest truth. The ushers told me this. They said, there were people running to get to Sunday school so they wouldn't be late. They're running from their car to get in so they could get their name in the jar. Now, when's that happen in your Sunday school class? Another thing I always do, I haven't taught Sunday school consistently for the last several years, but I used to all the time. But now if I do it, I start 10 minutes early. So Sunday school's at 9:30. I start at 9:20, and I tell her, we're starting at 9:20. We're starting 10 minutes early. Does anybody know why I do that?
Because they're
going to
be late anyway.
there are people that are 10 minutes late, no matter when you start. 10 minutes late, 10 minutes after you start, there are people come in. They could be there, they just don't think that way. And if you started 10 minutes late, they'll come 10 minutes after that. They say, I know they're not going to start. They don't start on time. They're not going to be there at the time if you started on time. They'll be there 20 minutes late. So it's really important to start on time. Like I said, I start early, and they get there, I'm sorry, I'm late. They're still there at 9:30.
Right.
You know, so there's some things that you can do in your Sunday school to be creative. You know, we had in February, we had 4 weeks. I love my church. We had a heart, and we had different parts of the heart, and everybody had a chart. And so, you know, it'd be sad. You know, you got part of a heart, and part of it's not there. You know, you put each quarter in every time you'd come, fill in the attendance. So you need to do some things that create some excitement, an interest. So it takes effort to do that. You know, the lesson is really important. That's the most important part. But if all you have is a lesson, your Sunday school is probably not going to be exciting and interesting. So it's all the effort and work you put into illustrations, to object lessons, to PowerPoint, to, you know, and I've taught PowerPoint. I have a thing on finances, and we did this video. But how to put your finances in order, 4 weeks, I think. So that was something different, something on PowerPoint. But if you don't have any visuals, you don't have anything in their hand, or just an outline, you know, you're limiting the interest and creativity that you can have in a Sunday school. So whoever teaches a Sunday school, or if you have more than one adult Sunday school, that's something you really have to work on, because if the parents come, the children come. And it's really tough to get the children to come if the parents aren't there. And if you do get them to come, the parents might just drop them off and not stay. And if you do get the parents to stay, they might stop coming because it's not interesting. So that adult class is really, really important to make it interesting. As far as curriculum, I think as a preacher, you can come up with your own curriculum and theme. That's not a problem. But it's someone else. They need a book or some kind of curriculum, and they need training how to use it, because you don't want them to just read it, read the lesson. You know, they can read it during the week, and they ought to be able to stand. And by the way, a teacher ought to stand, not sit, if they're physically able. And they ought to be able to give the lesson without looking at constantly at their notes. So the lesson has become part of them during the week. So you see what I'm saying? You're putting a lot of attention into that Sunday school class. That it's not just learning the lesson. It's how to get that lesson into their mind, into their heart. It's how to get their interest, for it to be enjoyable, creative. All that takes a lot of thought and effort to make that happen. So the adult Sunday school class is really, really important. Some of the series that for the adult class you could think about, the home, having a happy home, and there's a lot about the family. A book study. Sometimes people are really interested in prophecy. Maybe they're interested in finances, maybe the topic of prayer, kings on parade. You know, it's an interesting study when you do all the kings of Judah, the festivals, the seven major festivals of Israel. It sounds boring, but it's really interesting. Spiritual warfare, how to study the Bible. We're doing a thing right now where we have bookmarks of all the books of the Bible. And I'm sure over half our people know the books, they've memorized them, but we've got a lot of new people. So that's one big emphasis. I want everybody to learn the books of the Bible. That way you don't need a thumb tab. I know where that's at. So we're encouraging everybody to learn the books of Bible in order. So there are a number of things that you can do for that class. If you think about it, this will interest people. This is something I can be creative about and use object lessons. And then maintain maintain variety. Don't do the same thing over and over again. You say, well, I got this figured out, now I'm going to use flannel graph. Well, that's all right once in a while. You do it every week. Or it's all on PowerPoint. And PowerPoint is very powerful. There's a lot of unique things you can do with it. But if you do something different, that kind of gets people's attention, it breaks monotony. So being creative with some of the things that you do. And then you can have contests. I know in churches, we didn't do this, but it was my first pastor, his church, they actually connected with a sister church, was some distance away, and they had a competition between the two churches for Sunday school. And they would check each week to see how many they had and how many you had, and you know, create a bit of a competition. And it was interesting, regardless of who won, it was interesting that, you know, it got people's attention. It's something new, something different. You can give out gift cards and treats. I think in the South, when I grew up, the idea of promotion was, it was giveaways. You gave away for kids to get on the bus, and the kids, after a while, it's like, which bus is going to give me the most stuff, and I'd get on that bus. New Englanders kind of, really, you're going to bribe me to come to church? You know, that we're a different breed, so it's not that's not the way our mind works. Nevertheless, it's kind of a neat thing when, you know, I think my wife handed out candy, or it's too late if you didn't go to her class, but you hand out candy, just having a treat. Christmas, Easter, having a treat for someone. Or you can reward people for behavior. If you're in a bus ministry, which is not really our topic, but rewarding a child for sitting properly and say, I want to pick somebody out, I'm watching everybody. You can have classes compete against each other. I mean, you can prorate, some have different attendance, but you could go by percentage, who had the greatest percentage increase in their class, so you can have competition between them. You can set a goal, an attendance goal. We're going to try and have so many in class every week, or average a certain amount. Or we set a goal for perfect attendance. How many have perfect attendance? So all those things are just ideas that to keep you creative and keep their interest. Balloons, candy, pizza, picnics, various kinds of food, they're always winners. I mean, it's always something that gets people's attention. That doesn't build character, doesn't get anybody saved necessarily, but it might get them there where they could get saved. And so periodically, some things, special things like that can have create interest in the class. And then visit the prospects. It is important to visit. And a Sunday school teacher needs to think about this. Is it just your responsibility to teach who comes, or should you follow people up? And if you go to a child's home and say, hey, show me your bedroom, and you walk in their bedroom, that'll tell you everything you didn't know about that child. So do they have Rock Band posters, or do they have chalk drawings from the latest evangelist that came through? That tells you kind of what influence they have, and it helps you better understand where your children are at, and knowing the parents know you're interested in their child. And visiting not only the visitors that come, but the regular class students, visiting them once a year, you know, that really will help you to communicate and understand their needs and for them to see your concern for them. And then recruiting students. One way to recruit them that's, we call it low-hanging fruit, is they come to church service but not Sunday school. And then to talk to the parents or talk to the kids or let them know, hey, next week we have this going on. We'd like for you to come to our Sunday school class. Now, the problem, I mean, if you start Sunday school, the earliest I know is 9:30. And if you have Sunday school at 9:30, they think, oh, you know, we're so tired, it's hard to get up. But that's a habit. That's not because it's late or early. I mean, who goes to school at 9:30? I mean, all week, they've got to get up at 6 or 7 o'clock at the latest. They could easily, it's not an issue of the time. It's the commitment and the desire, the interest. So you get them there because they're interested. They want to be there. They don't want to miss. Contact those that come to church but are not in your Sunday school. Another way to get your class to grow. And then get excited, get your class excited about inviting others. Now, we have a problem because most of our kids are in a Christian school. And, you know, we don't want them inviting someone from another good church to come to our Sunday school. That's not right. But for a lot of them, they don't have any other friends. You know, they're isolated or homeschoolers. They don't have any other friends. But you'll get some. There'll be some that will. And you take what you can get. Well, this is not done, but we are going to post this. And it'll be archived. My whole outline will be archived. If you go back and look at it, there are 16 points. So we're done.